The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Saturday, June 7th, 2014.
Dear friends, you've heard this morning a wonderful sermon in which Zoe reminded us how important it is to appreciate the blessings that life places before us, something the Israelites in the desert were simply unable to do. I want to do a little bit of study together, focusing on the two points in the parasha that inspired Zoe's sermon. The first, that the Israelites questioned God's power, even after witnessing the plagues on Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea. And the second, that when faced with the challenges of freedom, they longed to return to slavery. How could this people, redeemed by God from a lifetime of slavery, rescued by God from the waters of the Red Sea, delivered by God time and again from enemies on every side, be so ungrateful for its freedom and show so little faith that they actually long to return to the safety of the taskmaster's whip? Let's take a look at what the Israelites have to say for themselves. You each received a handout. On one side, our music program. On the other, toward the bottom, a set of verses from Torah, the first from Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. Cantor Herman read these very beautifully. Follow with me. The riffraff in their midst felt a gluttonous craving, and the Israelites, moreover, wept and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Now our gullets are all shriveled. There's nothing at all, nothing but this manna to look to." Does anything about their recollections of Egypt strike you as surprising or curious? It sounds to me as if the Israelites were fed rather well in Egypt. The menu they recall might have been from the Atlantic Grill. Could it really have been this way? And could it really have been for free? What does it mean that they used to eat fish for free? Well, the rabbis wonder. Certainly, the Israelites were not fed free of charge. Pharaoh, who was so cruel as to deny them even the straw for the making of bricks, would never feed them for free. In fact, the rabbis teach us that Pharaoh placed the Israelites on a starvation diet. But fish were bountiful in the Nile's waters and could be caught easily in the river's floods. Take a look at the teaching of the 15th century Spanish commentator Abravanel. Follow with me. All one had to do was dig a hole which was filled by the waters of the river. When the Nile receded, the fish remained in the pits, and in this way they ate them free of charge. So we learn how powerful is the selective ability of memory. The terrible price they had to pay for this giveaway diet, slavery, suffering, persecution, murder of their children, is conveniently forgotten. What remained? The fish they ate freely, without paying for it. Our verses are set slightly more than a year after the Exodus. But this is hardly the first instance of the Israelites complaining. Their whining began on day one. Look at Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 24. Then Moses caused Israel to set out from the Sea of Reeds. They went on into the wilderness of Shur. They traveled 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the water because it was bitter. That is why they named it Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Chapter 16. Setting out from Elim, the whole Israelite community came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. In the wilderness, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of Adonai in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to starve this whole congregation to death." I will tell you that in response to these two episodes, God does provide the Israelites what they want and need. In the first instance, potable water, and in the second, food in the form of quail and manna. But in our portion, which, remember, occurs a full year later, God is not as patient. God's response, not as generous. Look at the last text from this week's parashah, verses 18 to 20. God instructs Moses as follows. Say to the people, be ready for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have kept whining before Adonai and saying, if only we had meat to eat. Indeed, we were better off in Egypt. Adonai will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, not two, not even 5 days or 10 or 20, but a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. For you have rejected Adonai who is among you by whining before God and saying, oh, why did we ever leave Egypt? And so God caused quail to rain down on the Israelites, more meat than the hungriest of them could ever want. And then, as they were devouring it, God punished them with a plague. The natural question to ask would be, why is God's response so different here? Here, it is an angry response. And the answer lies in the Israelites themselves and what they had failed to appreciate during their first year in the desert. In the earlier episodes, they were not yet accustomed to a life beyond Egyptian servitude. They did not know from where their next meal was coming. Yes, they knew God could split seas, but could God cook? This they did not yet know. But by the second year of their wanderings, of which we read in our Sidra, any doubts about God's power should have long been erased. God had already fed them with manna and quail and provided them water in the desert. And still they are so faithless as to ask, Mi ya'achilenu basar, who will feed us meat? And something else has happened to them in the year since those earlier episodes. Something monumental. Sinai. There at the mountain, amidst thunderclaps and shofar blasts, they had received Torah, God's greatest gift. Don't they remember? Of course they remember. And that moment of revelation, some commentators say, is what this rebellion is really all about. Recall the Israelites' remembrance of their life in Egypt. We remember the fish we used to eat free, they had said. Well, according to one midrash, it was not that the Israelites remembered the fish as having been free, but that they remembered themselves as having been free, free of the Torah's commandments. Now they longed for the days when, as slaves, they were accountable only for the buildings they constructed, not morally accountable for their behavior toward one another. How much easier it seemed when their responsibility was only to Pharaoh and not to God. Judaism insists that we as human beings are never truly free agents. We are not free to act according to our desires without regard for the well-being of others and of the community in which we live. As a people, no sooner did we cast off the yoke of servitude to Pharaoh than did we at Sinai accept upon ourselves what our tradition calls the yoke of service to God, the yoke of the mitzvot. We bear a responsibility to God and to our fellow human beings. And Zoe, in point of fact, this responsibility is precisely what you are accepting this morning as you become a bat mitzvah. The definition of bat mitzvah is a young woman who has reached the age when the commandments are incumbent upon her, when she's responsible for upholding them. In our tradition, it represents a doorway between childhood, when your parents could be held accountable for your behavior, and young adult life when you are now accountable for your actions. Not that your parents would have ever taken anything but pride in you, but still, now that accountability, that responsibility is yours. And we would not have brought you to this moment if we did not believe you were more than up to the challenge. Of course, Torah is much more than a burden to weigh us down. Truly, it is a source of guidance to which to turn when life's road is uncertain, a source of inspiration and confidence when we are in doubt, and a source of joy to lift us up as it is this day. And we pray that there will be many more joys ahead for you, and that you will indeed, as you said, cherish each of them as blessings from God. We love you for who you are and for the person you are yet to be. And we say, Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shehecheyanu, V'kiyamanu, V'higiyanu, Lazman HaZeh. We praise you, Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe, who keeps us in life, sustains us, and has brought us to this wonderful day. Amen.